Good evening, everybody. Welcome to you. Please turn your Bibles this evening to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. A little different one there. Actually, no, Galatians. I have another one. Galatians 6, 2. We'll start there. Galatians 6, 2. Yeah, not Romans either way, right? Galatians 6, 2. All righty, as we begin, let's enter into prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you for eternal life and for your Son, Jesus Christ, that made it all possible. We thank you, Father, that you allowed your Son to fulfill your will by coming here, becoming the God-man, going to the cross, dying for our sins, and being raised 3 days later and seated now at your right hand. And he's the head of the church. And whoever believes in your Son has eternal life. Father, we ask tonight for the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit as we're here together and after we leave. We pray also, Father, for the needs of the saints. We pray for the members of our congregation here at Lighthouse Bible Church and the different needs that they have tonight. We also pray, Father, for the wider church. We pray for our country. We also pray, Father, for the church around the world, much of it in places where the body is being persecuted this day. And we just pray, Father, that particularly for the persecuted church, Father, that they would have what they need in order to survive, that also that they would have that incredible comfort and consolation and knowledge of the victory that is theirs. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. All righty, the title of today's message is Backpacks and Boulders. And I'm going to tell you, this is your life, okay? So we'll see where that ends this evening. This is your life. Your life consists of backpacks and boulders, and we're going to see what that's all about, all right? We've been, of course, in Romans 8, even though tonight we're starting in Galatians 6, and we are on a great place because we're looking at the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that incredible life, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, and that we're in Christ, and so we have that life, and that the Holy Spirit is in us, and he's the administrator of that life now for us. And so that's a wonderful place to be. And when we get back to Romans 8, we're going to see how all of that plays out. And as a matter of fact, from there all the way to about verse 25 is all descriptions of that life of the Spirit. And so we have that to look forward to. But we've stopped here because we asked the question, okay, so we've been seeing about this great life, and we know that the way that we step into it, though, is as an active experience. Because we have, as creatures, as creations, as people, still in this world, you know, we do have a need to experience that life. And the way we've seen that we do experience that life is in loving one another, the same way that Christ loves us. And so we saw some of that in Romans 12, in the different commands of Romans 12 that all get at that same thing, loving one another, stepping into an amazing new life. And we've been seeing some specifics about that. What does it mean? It's some specifics about loving the brethren. And we saw one way was that it meant that we think the best of one another, especially when we're upset with somebody, and how that's a challenge, but it's a real way to see how that life is worked out through us. And we ended up on Sunday anyway in Galatians 6, 2, where we read, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And on Sunday, I mentioned and I read, actually, a question that I had received earlier that week from a young man who was dealing with something that happened to him, which turns out to be a big burden for him right now. And he was talking to a friend about it. And if you recall, if you were here Sunday, you remember that the friend gave him some advice. And I kind of jokingly said it's sort of like the advice that Job's friends gave Job. He said, hey, you know what? God can't give you more than you can handle. And this actually did not comfort this young man. It actually disturbed him. And he said, you know, my friend said that to me. God cannot give you more than you can handle. He said, and he even quoted a Bible passage, 1 Corinthians 10:13, for his support. And he wanted to know what I thought about it. And he also let me know what he thought about it. And he was a very wise young man. And so that got us looking at this question. Why are we looking at this question? Because in Galatians 6, 2, we're told to bear one another's burdens. Now, why would God ask us to bear one another's burdens if he never gave any of us more than we could handle alone? Isn't that kind of obvious? Of course he gives us more than we can handle at times. Otherwise, we wouldn't need one another to help bear that burden that he gave us. Okay, so it's pretty clear in Galatians 6:2 anyway. But it is a source of confusion because this is something that's kind of like a bumper sticker for Christianity. It is a truism. It is the kind of thing that people just say, assuming it's true. As a matter of fact, I saw something today. I got an email from somebody who was teaching some stuff from the Bible, and they said this. And I'm like, oh, wow, it's interesting. And they said it, and yet, so, you know, me, I'm like, gee, I wonder. And so I was reading through it, and I'm like, okay, so what Bible passage is he basing this on? And there wasn't one. So I was like, oh, okay. So because this is the kind of thing it is. It's something that we say, we assume is true, and we've kind of long since forgotten where it comes from. And that's a danger, you know. I remember one time we talked about the lion and the lamb or the wolf and the lamb, and it really was the wolf and the lamb, but everyone says the lion and the lamb. It's just one of those things that happens, you know. It's like that telephone game you played when you were a kid, right? You know, you say it, and then they say it, and they say it. By the time it gets to 10 people, it's totally different. Which, by the way, is why the Bible is written. You know, the thing I love, I'll tell you, the thing that saved my life in terms of the confusion that I had been in as a young man regarding religions and even regarding denominations and what's true and what isn't was when I finally realized that it wasn't tradition, it wasn't what somebody was saying that mattered. It was that God had written it down and that it had not changed in 2,000 years. These words, you see, that's solid, that's an anchor, and that's we should never, you know, take that lightly. We should want to be people who go to the Word, like the Bereans, and say, you know what, I think this is right, but I still want to check it out. I want to go to the Word. I want to see what God's Word says about this. So that's what we started to do on Sunday, and we ran out of time a little bit. But so this is something that you hear a lot. Oh, don't worry, God will never give you more than you can handle, and you know, and a lot of times it's said when you just told somebody about something that is more than you can handle, and they say, oh, don't worry, God will never give you more than, and they walk away. You know, that's often what happens. And so the message being, don't worry, you can take it, you don't need my help. Unfortunately, but let's be real, that's sometimes how this is used. And it sounds holy, doesn't it? It sounds like, great, of course, God, that's wonderful, I'm glad he wouldn't do that. You know, we want it to be true in a way. But the problem is it's not what the Bible says. It's not true. And so if it's not true, then thinking it's true and telling people that is eventually going to cause problems. Eventually it will. If you know, look, I'm telling you, if you're in a situation now where your life is such that you can't handle something, it's just too much for you, and they say, well, God will never give you more than you can handle, what does that mean? How does that make you feel? It makes you feel like, oh, I must be a loser Christian, right? You're not a loser Christian. There's no such thing, by the way. I mean, there's people that, you know, come in a few minutes late from time to time, but, you know, that's because, you know, they're heavily burdened, all right? I kid with the ones I love. You know that. Hi. So the question then becomes, you know, we should really stick to the Word of God to avoid those kind of things for people, you know? And so this is a Christian myth. It's one that is all over the place. But let's just go through this again tonight so that we all get clear on it. Please go to the passage that this young man's friend quoted, 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Because it does say something that sounds a little bit like God can never give you more than you can handle. But it's not what it says exactly, and we want to be accurate. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such that it is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be what? Tempted. Tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Now again, does this passage say that God will never give you more than you can handle? No. What does it say? It says God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Can you see that this passage is dealing simply with temptation? That it's in that area alone that this passage is dealing. That God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. And that when you get a temptation, God will provide a way of escape from the temptation because he definitely, guaranteed 100%, does not want you to fall for temptation. Ever, right? God would never say, oh, good, I'm going to give them a temptation they can't get out of because then they'll sin. Of course he's not going to do that. He will never do that. On the other hand, you know, temptation is not everything in life. And while he would never want us to fall for temptation, there could be reasons why he would give us more than we can handle, that, and not in the way of temptation, but something else, because that something else will push us to something, to a goal, to an understanding, to a growth that he does want. Okay, so, but again, let's just make sure we're crystal clear on this. He's talking about temptation only. And if you go back a few verses to verse 6, you can see that he gives us a lot of good information about what he's talking about. So 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things happened as examples to us, so that we would not crave evil things, as they also craved. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. And it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they stood up to play the nation of Israel in the desert. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. See, he's already, before he gets to the statement that God will not allow us to be tempted, but if when we are tempted, we have a way of escape, he's already described the kinds of temptation that he's talking about, right? He's talking about craving evil things. He's saying, I will never put you in a position where it's more than you are able to do in terms of craving evil things. You always have a way of escape when the question is being tempted to crave evil things. Same thing with idolatry. You may get in a situation where you feel a little weak in the knees about what's going on related to an area of idolatry, but God will never allow that to happen to you to be tempted more than you are able. But with the temptation, he'll give you a way of escape. Okay. With temptation. Same thing with immorality, acting immorality. He will never put you in a position where you'll be tempted beyond your ability when it comes to acting immorally. And then he goes on and he says in verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, such as common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Again, this passage is simply talking about temptation, and Paul describes those kind of things in terms of craving evil things, idolatry, acting immorally, and being arrogant. God will never allow us to be tempted by those things beyond what we're able to handle. And when we are tempted, God will provide us a way of escape to flee those things. Another passage will say, flee immorality. The only way we can do that is if he provides us the way of escape from it, and he always will. However, our lives and the things that we struggle with consist of more than simply temptation. It's not the only thing that's a burden in our lives that we struggle with is temptation. Of course not. There's many, many other things that are burdens in our lives that we struggle with. And those things include such things like, let me give you a list. Sorrow, sadness, loss. Loss of family, loss of friends, loss of a home, whatever. Persecution. That's not temptation. That's something different. That's persecution. That's a burden. Think about the people that are being persecuted in other countries and what they're going through right now. You know, and just for, as a thought exercise, imagine somebody in a country like, the name escapes me right now. They just had a huge earthquake. Nepal, right? And, you know, and you look at them and you say, you know, I know you're in distress and in tribulation, but don't worry. God will never allow you to have more burden than you can handle. See ya. I mean, would that be Christian of us to do that? Of course not. And is it true? Can you imagine what it would be like to be having a victim of an earthquake and lose everything and lose your family members and have two broken legs? I mean, that's more than anybody can handle by themselves. They need help at that point in time. Big help. Sickness. There have been times in our lives where we have been so sick that it was too much for us. We didn't know what to do next. Famine and nakedness, maybe not so much, but in this country anyway, but certainly around the world. Peril and sword. Hardships. Sleeplessness. You know how it is when you have sleeplessness. That's more than you can bear. You're not functioning your normal self when you haven't slept in 2 days, right? Poverty. Do you realize how crippling poverty is? I mean, those of you that have been in poverty know obviously what I'm talking about. But those of us who haven't may not really understand that, how it is to not have enough to do the basic things that, you know, most people take for granted. All right? That's more than people can bear at times. Betrayal. You're going along in life and you've got somebody that you can count on and all of a sudden they betray you out of thin air. That's more than you can handle in terms of, you know, the burden that it places on you. Paul one time said, you know what? He said, I have my friend Epaphroditus. This is in the letter to the Philippians. And he had some of these things going on. And he admitted, he said, you know what? I know that the Lord spared Epaphroditus because it would have been way more than I could have handled if he had died too. But that happens to people. People that they're counting on go away. That's more than they can handle. Let's be honest. Let's be real. Let's not pretend that we're in some fantasy land. Accusations, false accusations, those can hurt. Those can really lay somebody low. Rejection, weakness. The thing that Paul talks about, the thorn in the flesh, that thing that you can never get rid of, that is a real, it really brings you down and prevents you from doing what you think you ought to be doing in life. Difficulties, dangers, worry. Worry can be a burden to people. Concerns about those that we love, those don't go away, and sometimes they're too much. Sometimes we just need help with those kind of things. And so it's definitely true that there are things that God allows to happen in our lives that are more than we can handle. Some of these things do get the better of us. We're kidding ourselves if we don't think so. And we're being less than compassionate and merciful to others if we don't think that's true about our brother and sister as well. That there's just some times when it's just too much. When there's just a burden that's more than they can handle. And let me put in parentheses, alone. Because that's the whole idea here. That there's times when we can't handle it alone. And by the way, there's things that were more than Paul can handle. This, you know, as much as it's clear in Galatians 6:2 that sometimes people get burdens that they can't handle themselves, I want you to see what Paul said about one of his. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Notice that we're going to the Bible for this. We're not going to Christian Facebook or, you know, the conventional Christian wisdom here or a dream I had last night, but the Bible. It's really important. Because, you know, when there are these things where you want to make sure you can say, you know what, the reason why I think this is true now is because I've seen it in the Bible. I saw where Paul said he was burdened excessively. Paul did. The writer of half the New Testament. The one that explained the Christian way of life to all of us. He's the one who said he was burdened excessively. So that if he was, I think God's given permission for me to see that I can be too. And it's okay. That God understands it's going to happen. So let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction. Not temptation, right? Affliction. Okay, which came to us in Asia. So that we were burdened excessively. That means more than they could handle. They were burdened excessively. He says it. Beyond our strength. It's more than they could handle. It was beyond their strength. They were burdened excessively. Notice how bad it got. So that we despaired even of life. I mean, that's pretty low. If you've got a burden that's so heavy, that's beyond your strength, that you despair even of life, means it's over. I don't think I can go on. That's a heavy burden. That's too heavy. That's not something you can handle. That's not a backpack. That's a boulder. You know, that's where the title of tonight's message comes from. There is such a thing as a load that God has given you that you can handle. Every day of your life, you carry the backpack of your life. We'll talk about a little bit more about what that is. But there are times in everybody's life where the Lord also allows the boulder to come. And that's too much. You can't carry that alone. You can't drag that along yourself. You're going to need help. And this is what Paul's talking about. He says, we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death. Notice where it was, within ourselves. Within ourselves. He felt like the burden was so crushing that it was the end. Inside, he felt dead. It was over. So that we could not, now notice why. So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You see, when we get things that are beyond our strength, we learn something about what life is all about. And one of the things we learn is that we cannot trust in ourselves, our strength. I mean, to say that God never gives you more than you can handle means, man, you're pretty strong, doesn't it? And who was that trusting in at that point? You and your strength. God will never give me more than I can handle because I'm strong enough for it. That's basically what that means. And the answer is no, you're not. And sometimes we have to have an experience of that. you know what? I am not strong. I am weak. And what it teaches us to do is rely on Him. He's strong. So that maybe the bumper sticker should say, rather than God will never give us more than we can handle, how about God will never give us more than He can handle? How about that one? That's a better one. Yeah, because that's the truth. That's the truth, okay? So, but notice the, why? You know, why would it be that God would set it up such that He'll never allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, but He will allow burdens to come in that are beyond our strength? And the answer is, look at the outcome. When you're, if He were to give you a temptation that was beyond what you could resist, then you would sin. God never would want to set something up so that somebody sins. Does that make sense? So that makes sense. But what's the outcome when you have a burden that's too heavy? What the outcome can be? The outcome could be, I'm not going to trust in myself anymore. I'm going to trust in Him. Is that a good outcome? Yes, it is. Or, hey, guess what happened? You know what? I was in this place. I had this burden I couldn't handle. But guess what happened? My brothers and sisters in Christ came to the rescue, and they helped me out. Is that a good outcome? Absolutely. The bonds of love get stronger between members of the body of Christ. That's the difference. That's the difference between temptation and affliction in terms of our lives. And so He said, look, you know, look at it again. He said He did that. He gave me something that burdened me beyond my strength so that I would not trust in myself, Paul said, but in God who raises the dead. And He delivered us from so great a peril of death. But notice it was only after Paul and his friends had the experience of being burdened beyond their strength that there was something, a good purpose that God had for letting that heavy weight be there for a time, for them to realize, I can't trust in myself. And then God came through and delivered them out of that. And He will keep doing that, He said. He on whom we have set our hope. Not my strength, but Him. And He will yet deliver us. And notice verse 11, but also is here. You also joining in helping us. The other good outcome. You see the two good outcomes here? That we're not going to rely on ourselves, we're going to rely on God. And it provided an opportunity for the other members of the body to help. That's what God is after. That's why there are times when God gives us more than we can handle. So that He can handle it for us and that other members of the body can also help. Join in helping us, and notice in this case how they help through their prayers so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Wow. So sometimes God gives us more than we can handle to drive others to pray for us so that when God comes through for us, not only are we blessed by God coming through, but all the people that prayed for us are also blessed by seeing their prayers at work through us. Do you see how that's a positive, wonderful thing that comes out of this that could never come out of temptation, but does come out of this? You know, there are people who wonder. There'd be a person who was in a vegetative state for many, many weeks. And people would say, people say things like, why would God allow that? What purpose does that serve? You know, you hear that, right? But did you ever stop and think about maybe all the people who saw that pathetic scene either in person or heard about it, and their hearts got soft for maybe the person that was in it, but even maybe more importantly, the family members, and that they reached out to the family members in that situation, and maybe they prayed, and maybe they even came to visit, and maybe a lot of things happened because of that burden that was beyond people's ability to handle. It happens a lot. It happens a lot. So realize that with you too. Don't be one of these people, you know, I am a rock. I am an island. I can handle anything. I got it all I got. God gave me everything I need. Don't be one of those people. Because many times God wants you to realize that you're in over your head so that you understand how He and other people can come through and how you could be a vessel for somebody who maybe, you know, they're just not really paying attention too much to what's going on with God, and all of a sudden they see you in a terrible situation and they come to your assistance or they pray for you. And all of a sudden that revives their spiritual life because they were able to do that. You see, it's a very different way of looking at God's ways are not our ways. It's a very different way of looking at things. But Paul said he was burdened excessively. It was too much for him to handle. And then he came to understand why. Why it happened. Why do we get to these places where we simply can't handle what God has allowed to happen to us? You see, God does give us more than we can handle. And Paul understood why, finally. He said, you know, God gives us more than we can handle so that we would learn. And one of the things we could learn was not to trust in ourselves. You know, he doesn't really want you to wake up and say, you know what, whatever happens today, I can handle it. Because that's trusting in me. He wants you to wake up and say, you know what, there may be plenty of things I can't handle today because I'm weak. But when I'm weak, then he's strong. So while I can't handle it, he can. And when I get to the point where I can't handle it and I'm honest about it, then all I got left is the greatest thing in the world, of course, him. And I can't be trying to do it myself. I'm in this place. I'm in that prison situation, if you want to put it that way, where I'm saying, it's got to be him. And notice what Paul says. It's no accident that how does he describe his God when he does this? He says, notice in verse 9 again, he said, I know why. He put this burden that was beyond our strength so that we would not trust in ourselves but in God. Is it period? But in God, period. No. Which God? What about God? Who raises the dead? The dead. Is death more than we can handle as human beings? Of course it is. Was death more than Lazarus could handle? Was he able to wriggle out of that one? Did he have the strength to deal with his own death? I mean, I'm being facetious a little bit, but it points it out. There's a lot of things in this life that we can't handle. Death being the ultimate. And yet, what happened when Lazarus was in that place of ultimate helplessness? Jesus raised the dead. And as a matter of fact, that's a great illustration of what we're talking about, because through that, through a man getting to a place where he totally couldn't handle it, had no strength at all, left dead, God brought in his son to raise him from the dead. And many, many people became believers in Jesus Christ because of that. So much so that just seeing Lazarus eating at a table caused people to believe in Jesus Christ. So much so that, do you know that when it came time for the Roman and the Jewish leaders to go after Jesus and put him on the cross, do you know who else they were going after at the same time? Lazarus. Because Lazarus was a huge threat, because many, many, many people, he lived, by the way, right outside of Jerusalem, and many, many people were coming to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah because of Lazarus. And what did he do? He died. That was his contribution. Death. Becoming ultimately weak, ultimately helpless, being in that place where absolutely positively it's more than any of us can handle. And look what God did. So God allows more than we can handle so that we could learn not to trust in ourselves, but in our great and awesome, loving God who even raises the dead. And until you have been in a situation where you think like Paul, where he says, you know what, I despair even of life. I don't know any way this can ever move from where it is. It's so bad. Until you get to that point, you won't really understand what it means to worship the God who raises the dead. Because the best way to experience that we have a God who raises the dead is to be in a position where in the inside you think it's over. And then it's not. And then you realize, wow, that's resurrection power working in my life. It could be a lot of things. It could be in you. It could be where you just get to a point where you're so down on yourself that you just don't see any way out. And then he comes on in and he shows what he's going to do for you at that moment. It could be somebody else. It could be a relationship that it's dead in terms of that person is just totally negative to me, totally never going to turn around. And I'm just inside, it feels like a death. And then all of a sudden, so that you would not rely on yourself but on him. How many times do we put pressure on ourselves to have something that's supposed to, we think should be turning in a certain way that's according to God's will, and we think it's up to us to do something in order for it to happen? Until we keep doing and doing and doing and nothing happens. And then we get down on ourselves and we think it's our fault and this whole thing doesn't work. But then eventually you get to the place where you realize, but wait a minute, I'm just a fallible human being. Who am I to criticize what God is doing? And I know I can't do anything myself, but I also know that he is amazing. And I'm just going to sit here like Lazarus in his tomb and then trust only in the God who raises the dead. And then many oftentimes, just like Paul said that, once he realized that he would no longer trust in himself but in God, God comes through. That's what I mean when I say God's interested in your heart. You know? He's interested in that heart of yours being expanded. Because the only reason that we get to a place where we can't handle it is because it's beyond our capacity. But see, what God wants to do through those situations, guess what? Is grow your capacity. And that simply just means your viewpoint of who he is gets bigger. That's all that is. It gets bigger through these things. Now, but believe me, so in a way, if we said, boy, I'm so sure, I'm so happy that God never gives me more than I can handle, then that just says I'm content with a little view of God. That's what that's saying. Okay, but when you're not content with a little view of God, believe me, you're going to come rolling into situations in your life where it's going to seem like it's over. But it's just your perception of it, after all. It's not the truth. You know, God sees the end from the beginning. God already sees you in glory with his son. We've already talked about this. God sees the new heaven and the new earth and you there with his son and the sons and daughters of the living God, living in perfect environment in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. It's never over for him. He's promised to get you there. It's never over for him. The only problem is us in our sort of limited understanding of how big and great our God is and our God's love is. And he wants to expand that. And many times the only way he can do that is put us in this bubble we consider the be-all and end-all to a place where we're like, nothing happening here. And then he comes through. We're like, oh, wow, you can even do that. And I'm not talking about miracles, although they are. I'm not talking about what the world is looking for. I'm just talking about you being honest about the fact that you came to the end of the road in terms of your ability to figure something out or make something happen. As far as you were concerned, it was over. And then you found out once again that it's never over with God. With man, it is impossible, burdened excessively, but with God, all things are possible. So God does that. So that we can learn that we have an amazing God who even raises the dead. But also, and importantly, because this is what we're talking about now, to see that we need help from one another. We need help from one another. That the Christian way of life is not designed for us to keep just gaining all this strength and all this wisdom so that I'm self-independent, that I'm just great. That's not the idea. The idea is for us all to realize that we're weak and we're needy and that we've been given a manifestation, but not everything, you know? So somebody asked me after class on Sunday, after service, hey, teach us what it means how to receive, because this is a giving and receiving life. And, you know, I thought about it for a while, and I may still do something on that, but here's the deal. To receive is simply to be honest. To be real about your needs. For example, in spiritual gifts, right? I got a spiritual gift that's a communication gift. But that's kind of like it. Like tonight, we had a meeting before, and I went out the door and I totally forgot to load up the things that Mark needs in order for this to happen. Because I am not a whirlwind administrator. I'm just not. I'm needy in that area, okay? I'm needy in other areas too. And God did that on purpose. Right? The body image is so great when it comes to this, you know? He says it in 1 Corinthians 12, I guess. Can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you? In other words, if the head said to the Lord, teach me to receive, all the Lord would say, you're already receiving. What are you talking about? You need the feet every day. You're receiving, you know? You're all receiving my gift every time you come and teach. You're receiving. You're receiving the gift that I have to give, a teaching gift. But you're also receiving a mercy gift from somebody else here. You have to. The way the body is built, we're all just one part of the body. We need all the others. So whether you realize it or not, you're in a position of needing to receive all the time. Okay? There's things that happen. But we all receive because somebody gets here early and sets up and turns the light on and the air conditioning. We just receive. We don't have to learn how to do that. We're doing it. We're receiving all the time. All right? And that's because we have needs and we're not self-sufficient, especially in the body, especially in the spiritual life. We're just not. That's foreign to what the Bible teaches about how this thing has been set up by God. All right. So that gets us back to Galatians 6. So let's go back there, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, where we left off, where we're told to bear one another's burdens. Because, you know, sadly, even often supposedly well-meaning Christians, will say things like this. Hang in there. God will never give you more than you can handle. Why? Unfortunately, sometimes it's so that they can wash their hands of the burden that their brother or sister is carrying. Right? Isn't it true? If you can convince yourself, you see somebody, they just lost their job. You see somebody who's just got divorced and they're sick. And what they really need, you know, is somebody to go over and help them out. That's what they need. And you kind of, you know it because you're not stupid, right? But it's also, that puts pressure. Whoa, that might be me that they need, right? So instead, you come up with something like, it sounds tough now, but don't worry. God will never give him more than you can handle. See ya. I got to go watch the Patriots game, you know? Because it takes the burden off me. See, it's got nothing to do with their burden. It's got to do with me convincing myself that I don't have to worry about that one. Because, you know, God will never give them more than they can handle. Whew. Right? Come on now. You know this is true. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. Wash my hands of that one. Whew. You see, it is comforting. This myth, oh, they can handle it. But who is it comforting to? It's comforting to the person who says it very often. Not the person who hears it. The person who says it, it comforts. Not the person who hears it. Right? Because it removes the pressure for them to help their brother or sister. And that's not good. And that's not how God sees it. You know? It's funny because very often they do quote Galatians 6, only they don't quote verse 2, they quote verse 5. So we're going to get into this. So let's read this passage and go forward all the way to verse 5. Ready? Bear one another's burdens. That comes first, by the way. And thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. That's two goes two ways, right? I can handle anything. No, you can't. Or I'm an advanced Christian. I know that God will never give them more than they can handle. You see, I think I'm something when I'm nothing. He deceives himself. For each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not to regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. See, when it comes to other people's burdens, many Christians even are much more likely to land in verse 5 than in verse 2. You see it? They're much more likely to say, well, you know what? That's their load. Let them bear it. And forget about verse 2, which is bear one another's burdens. You see it? Oh, other people will say, oh, you know, that Galatians 6, 2 to 5, isn't that a mystery? It's a seeming contradiction, right? You know what that means a lot of times? What I mean by the contradiction is, well, wait a minute, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, but everyone's supposed to bear their own burdens. See, it seems like a contradiction, right? What that really means sometimes when people go like that and they say, well, that's just a contradiction, that's a mystery. You know what that means? It means, I'm off the hook. Nobody understands what it means, so I don't have to listen to it. That's what it means. Yeah. And they end up with verse 5. Let them bear their own load. You know? That's baloney. All right, here's the thing. I just want you to notice one thing about these two verses. You know, verse 2 and verse 5, bear one another's burdens. Each one will bear his own load. Did you notice something when I said it? Bear one another's burdens. Each one will bear his own load. Did you notice something? Different words, right? Burden and load. That's a good translation. By the way, King James, not so good. Uses the same word. I'm absolutely convinced that generations of Christians have come up with that idea that God will never give you more than you can handle because the King James translated them both burden rather than one load. Because the fact is, they're different words in the Greek. They're different, and they have different meanings. You see? Yeah, see, in verse 5, the word is load, right? In the English, each one will bear his own load, right? In verse 2, it's a different word even in the English now. Yay for the New American Standard. They got it right. Burden. Two different words, okay? Now, here's the deal. I'm going to give you this. This is the backpack and the boulder, you know? The word load, it really was used in the time in which the Bible was written. The Greek word is fortion. And it was used at times for the load that a soldier would carry into battle. A backpack. On the other hand, baros, which is for burden, is something that's too heavy for anybody to carry. Or a boulder. Those are different. Right? So, you could say, bear one another's boulders, but each can bear his own backpack. Make sense? Okay. So what does that mean? Well, here's the deal. The backpack, the load, it's what we do have the strength to carry. You know, God has given us strength. God has given us the ability to carry something. You know, it's what the Lord has asked us to put on our shoulders every day. Right? There are certain things in all of our lives that the Lord has come to us and say, I want you to carry this every day. It's your load. It's your backpack. You know, day in and day out, put that on your shoulders and carry it. Maybe it's your wife or your husband. I don't mean literally, although in some cases people have to do that, of course. Or your children. If you have children, that's your load. That's not an excessive burden. Some people think it is. Now, don't get me wrong. Something can happen to your child so that it becomes such. So that, for example, your child gets cancer, and all of a sudden you have to be in a hospital for 3 months. That's a burden. That's a boulder. But the fact that you have children, and you have to watch out for them, and you have to feed them and take care of them and spend time with them, that's not a boulder. That's not something that's excessive. That's something that God has come to you and said, I want you to carry that. Every day of your life, that's part of your backpack. That's part of your load. Maybe it's your job, right? Some people think the same thing. I can't stand this job another day. Well, that's not an excessive burden. I understand what you're saying because we're all human, right? That's something the Lord has asked you to carry. That's fortion. That's the load. That's the backpack. Even our call to service, our spiritual life, you know? I mean, I felt in a way when I was preaching Sunday before last on the idea of stepping up the service in certain areas. I'm sure some people felt that was a boulder. That was a burden. Oh, come on, doesn't he know all I got to do? I get that. But on the other hand, you know, if God is calling you to an area of service in the ministry, trust me, for that, he has given you what you need in order to carry it out. Your spiritual gift, whatever time he wants you to use on it, and so forth. So there are some things that are part of our backpack, part of our load, and the Lord does give us the strength to carry these things on a daily basis. But there are also the boulders of life, the burdens that are too heavy for us to carry without help. Without help. And we're kidding ourselves if we don't think we get these from time to time. And we're really going to put ourselves at a loss unless we're honest about these things. Because we won't put ourselves in a situation where we realize that we need God's help, nor will we put ourselves in a situation where we realize we need other people to help too. And we will get these things from time to time in our life. Sometimes the Lord allows us to be burdened beyond what we're able to carry ourselves. Sometimes the Lord allows us to be burdened beyond what we're able to bear or to carry ourselves. And what happens? It teaches us to rely on Him. It teaches us to rely on Him. You know, and it's a process. You know, it's one of those things where the thing lands, whatever it is. A serious illness, an injury, a loss, whatever it is, a catastrophe, a flood, a hurricane, a war. You know, war is too much to bear. It just is. You know, anybody who romanticizes war, I'll guarantee you, has never fought, never picked up a gun. It's too much to bear. It's a horror. You know that. Look at all of our soldiers that come back from wars and they're never the same. You're trying to tell me that wasn't too much for a human being to bear, the things they had to see, the death and the man's inhumanity to man, and the devastation, and all of that? Of course it's too much. Of course it's too much. So these things happen. They're too much. So it teaches us to rely on God. I don't have what it takes for that. I have what it takes for the load of my life, but not for the boulder. It teaches us to rely on Him, but again, remember also, it teaches others around us that we all have a responsibility to help our brother and sister out when these things happen. And if we have the mindset that we're all these independent, self-sufficient units, that will never happen. We'll all be convincing ourselves, if nobody else, that, hey, don't worry, God will never give them more than they can handle. It's not true. God does allow things to happen in people's lives that are more than they can handle. And that just means that they need to rely on Him, but they also need to understand that that's what we're for. That's what we're for. Even something like our brothers and sisters being persecuted in other countries. You know what? That's what the United States Christians are for. We're the ones that have the means very often to go and provide assistance to those people. That's what we're for. We're not supposed to sit there and say, well, God's got it all under control. We're supposed to say, maybe there's something that I can do because I've got the means to do that. Because it's more than they can handle. The devastation, the persecution, the wives waking up in the middle of the night to see their husbands dragged out by gunpoint and put into a prison. That's more than they can bear. That's not their daily load. That's not a backpack. That's a boulder. And we have it around us too. You know, we have situations where people have gotten in situations where they're paralyzed. That's not a backpack. You don't say to a person like that, oh, sorry you're paralyzed, but I know God will never give you more than you can handle. You go to a person like that and say, how can I help? What can I do to help you out? Because it's more than you can handle. You know, I've got two legs. You don't, for example. We have a responsibility to each other. Whether it's a serious illness or an injury, a loss of a job, persecution, a terrible accident, the death of a close loved one, certain afflictions, a permanent handicap, war, famine, disease. We have a responsibility to each other. Now make no mistake, God will and does come to our aid, but usually only after we realize that we're in over our heads. Way more than we can handle. And he also wants the situation to lead to our being helped by our brothers and sisters. Please look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Why? So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know what that means? It means you go through something, death in the family, injury, divorce, mental illness, and then you go through it, and you get to that place of pain where you realize, I can't handle it. You know what that feels like. And then you go forward, and you will know that God rescues you with using life out of the dead, and you experience it for yourself, and you get out of that, and it's an amazing comfort to that closeness you have with the Lord. And then down the road, a few days, weeks, months, years, you see somebody else going now through the pain that you already went through, and you have got an amazing gift, because you can tell them exactly that. You know, I was too much for me too, but I'm here as living proof that it's not too much for him. And I'm here for you. That's one of the amazing things that comes out of being burdened excessively, is that we have that ability to do that for others. Just as the sufferings of Christ, verse 5, are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. It's for you. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort. I'll give it to you what I was comforted with, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Notice he does not pull us out. There's no way of escape here, is there? No, it's just patient enduring. He doesn't want us to patiently endure temptation, by the way. He wants us to get out, flee it. But he does want us to patiently endure these kind of burdens, which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing, notice this, that as you are what? Sharers of our sufferings. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to, remember, weep with those who weep. We're supposed to be sharing in suffering. Now, that doesn't mean that if somebody breaks their leg, you go out and break yours too, so you can say, I'm sharing in your suffering. But what it does mean is you enter into their pain. You know what I'm talking about? There's a way in which you can interact with people where you put the wall up and you never allow yourself to feel any kind of pain that they're going through. That's not the idea here. The idea is that you share the burden in some way, you know. I can only relate to things that I can think about. There was a guy who did have a terrible injury to his leg. And I went to go see him. And you know, it was a challenge. He's an athlete. And it was a real challenge because I can't just say, oh, everything's going to be fine. The guy needs his leg to be an athlete. It's gone. It's really bad. But the other thing that happened was when I was with him, I got to see where he was, where he lived. And there's a certain kind of, there's a thing that tugs at you when you're actually in the presence of somebody who is very has like a very difficult living situation. And when you enter into it, when you say, I'm going to come visit you, then all of a sudden you're right face to face with it. It happens any time when a person's in a tough poverty or somebody who goes overseas to try to see what people how people's lives really are. You know, when you actually enter into it, you can't escape it. And your humanity will kick in, and hopefully also your Christianity will kick in. And you'll have more empathy for those people. But only if you enter into it. If you're always saying, God never give them more than they can handle. You're never going to see it. You know? So we're sharers in each other's suffering. You know? I remember one time my mom had a good friend, and the friend's husband got in real trouble with the law, and it was totally public. I mean, it was on the front page, and all the radio stations were talking about it. And, you know, my mom was struggling. She says, I don't know what to say. You know? I said, Mom, out of the mouths of babes, I says, Mom, who cares? Just go visit her. You know what I mean? So often we think that we have to say the right thing or do the right thing or whatever. You know, we're afraid to pick up that phone. We don't want to. There's something about it. We're afraid of it, or we feel we're inadequate. And by the way, we are, you know. But if we never do that, we're not really sharing their suffering. We're not really doing that. And we're called to do that. Sharers in our sufferings, sharers in our comfort. Isn't that great, though? You see it knowing that as you, the ones that shared in my suffering, I know you're the ones that are the special ones that are sharing in the comfort. Believe me, if you enter into somebody's life when they're hurting, and you're with them, and you suffer with them, and you're praying with them, and you care about them, and you check up on them, and all those things, and then God comes through for them in an amazing way, guess what? You're in there too. You get that amazing realization of how great our God is, right along with them. Because you share in their suffering, you're going to share in their comfort. And that's the way it is, and that's the way we're designed to be. That's what Jesus did, you know? Jesus didn't look down on us in our dead and our trespasses and sins, all the pain and suffering and burden of being in this world, and look over to his dad and say, I know you'll never give them more than they can handle. He didn't do that. He came down here. He was a sharer in our suffering all the way to death. And because of that, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That's the way it works. Share is in the suffering, share is in the comfort. So I challenge you to see that in somebody's life and just ask a real, real simple question from time to time. What can I do to help? I know I'm never going to win the Nobel Peace Prize for theology with that one. But let me tell you something. That's a powerful question. What can I do to help? That's what this all boils down to. You know, in some respects, the whole gospel, the whole New Testament, kind of boils down to this. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died to completely take care of all your real problems, sin and death and the law. He took care of it all. You're totally forgiven. You have eternal life. Now, go love each other. Go love each other. I got your back. I mean, I know there's more to the New Testament than that, but sometimes I like to keep it simple. That's pretty much what it is. And sometimes it boils down to that. Having the courage to just extend yourself to somebody you know is going through a hard time and enter into this suffering with a question like that. What can I do to help? Because we are encouraged over and over again in the New Testament to love each other, to share with the one who is in need, to be kind to each other, to be tender-hearted, to bear with each other, to increase our love for one another, to excel in the loving of the brethren still more, to wash one another's feet, to be of the same mind, to maintain the same love, to regard one another as more important than ourselves, over and over and over and over again, the same refrain, the same message. Extend yourself out to somebody else. Take care of them. Find out how you can help. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you again tonight for leading us forward, for understanding that we are not self-sufficient, that we do have needs, that we do get burdened beyond our ability, and that when that happens, we are to look to you first, but also to realize that you can use this as an opportunity to bring other people into our lives, and that you're also, when we are in the days where we are just asked to carry our backpack, that you will also bring other people into our path that have the boulders. And at that point, we have the tremendous privilege of acting like you, acting like your son, by extending ourselves to be sharers in their pain. And we know that when that happens, we'll also be sharers in their comfort and blessing. So we ask, Father, help us, push us forward. We know that we're a new creation. We know that we're your children, that this new life is in us. But we also need a push. We need an encouragement. We need to see it. So please make those things happen, too, so that we act and behave the way we really are, your children. We ask this in Christ's name, by the power of the Spirit. Amen.